Daban zobe zanger vadan javzo demba devara jevan jide kebon deve galo jovalana mebal hadamena ge temba zange jomne pejava jaja adobala jazelo çedo javzo je odomba Dijin java dajomba yandava zobe zange ribada javzon denba devara java jeden jebon deve galo java lana meva lada menam ge tömba sanje jomde pe java jaja dubala jazelo jodo javzo je odum Chumden den de je java dan jomba yanda van zobe zanje reva dan jams. Jigden jemba jebo deve kanon jurva lana meva lada menam je temba zanje. Pejava jaja dubala janze lo jodo yamzo je oe. Gombo jezun jambe yala chaze lo kange lo tu temne tende nyenda namda rabze chenye dungwe jeje seje nyege dunga legwa manze kanda sebe tsura mare mendoma dunye gez Jozo gun la boje daze hiala juju yande so choda jedo nyomo nyem lege jado choze je mari emeze dunye nyogo chenye chunze redi tene taje saju taze yende lenzo gaze tuve go Chuda chuda chuni kende dalu mis jambe yanglandu. Bazana de omo ara bazana mo ara bazana de omo ara bazana de 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 Kera veze ye dalu demo memba rabze Kada denje chonlu atoba ye lodu pobe Tse do tse oye Joje me do dama rera leje nyende genba de Sange jenlo me de buwa Jogu namda jenla jubara joy Namba jenam je jugu kala genze tenje ne Jidara tsambe duje zema Sabje juje chava abdo se Mendala gana yadaya me Soye cho namala chanchu bado tane gyamzu je Tage shushe jive so namange Rola penje sanje edu baraye cho Chudan soye cho namala chanchu bado tane gyamzu je Tage shushe jive so namange Rola penje sanje edu baraye cho Soje cho namala chanchu bado dane gyabzo je Tage chushe jebe so nama Sanje dhubara sho Lada lame medami anji ombo dan Yajin la so chuji cho la chewa cheba nama Sanje sumba rabdu shishin tebe gyugyoba Deda she yendam be chunye jenen de she she namo la ye ge dan lu dan nu shen ge dupon da da me ye ge nan. Dwa gwen ge chanan che zamba tam che ge do ta ge chu dun dos. Good morning and Happy New Year and welcome back. So how was the break? We had a long break. Did you have any opportunity to apply any of the things that we have learned? Please feel free to share. It's one whole month, I'm sure. There have been a lot of opportunity.
It's like derailed. Coming every day or every week makes us to connect.
Good reminder.
Once it's relaxed and then it blasts. I was able to do the Gyambu visualization every morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing that I tried to connect myself. That's it.
Anybody want to share anything?
Well, yeah. Okay. I guess my practice is enough of a habit that it continued.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that, over the last couple of years, my Donald Trump patience has increased a bit. Partly, I think it's just fatigue, but I was pleased to see that at least one or two people, newspaper columnists, also were fatigued with it, and they said it's not helping anything to keep getting angry at him. He's a very sad person. And so I'm glad to see people having compassion for someone like him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Anyone?
I'd say definitely this was a better holiday than the past holidays. I have much more patience with my family.
Okay, very good.
It works out better for everybody.
So you were able to apply the break.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, very good. And since it is a new year, has anybody made any new year resolution? I thought that we will just talk briefly on this. The new year's resolution, goal setting. I think some of you may be familiar with something called SMART. So one of the reasons why we are unable to fulfill our wishes, why we are not succeeding in fulfill our goal, is that the way we set our goals, there is something wrong with that. So the research suggests that this is one effective way to set a goal. So it's called SMART, is an acronym. And S stands for specific. If you want to set up a goal, we have to be very specific what you want to do. Let's say if we say, oh, I want to try my best. I want to practice as much as I can. That's very abstract. That's vague. But instead, you have to be very specific. Or let's say, oh, I want to do 3 prostrations every day. Avoid engaging in the 3 of the physical negativities or 4 of the speeches. So you have to be very particular about what you are aiming to achieve. And then it has to be a measurable one. If there is no way to measure how you are performing, then you cannot really see the progress. So if you aim to do, let's say, 100,000 prostrations, then there is a measure there. So let's say how much you are doing. And then every month, if you are doing 100, can you reach that number at the end of the year? So that's why we have to have something that is measurable so that you can see how much effort you need to put and how much time you need to commit. Otherwise, when you realize that, oh, I am only at this stage, then it's too late. Year has already passed. It's tomorrow is next year. and the new year, you haven't achieved anything. And then your goal has to be an attainable one, something realistic. So let's say if you said, oh, this year I am going to try to achieve enlightenment or nirvana, but that's unrealistic. But instead, if you say something like, I will work on my anger and I will, at the end of the year, I will be able to reduce, I will try to reduce the frequency of anger incidences. That's achievable. You, if you work on that, it is achievable. I told you my own story. If you put effort, if you put your mind on it, that is possible. And then it has to be relevant. So we are talking about spiritual practices. So it has to be relevant to the spiritual practice. And also it is better if it is relevant to what you do. Let's say if a butcher, he say, oh, I will try to not to kill any animal. So that's not relevant. There's no way he cannot do that. His livelihood is butchering. And then time specific, time bound. You have to give a time. I will try to achieve this within that time frame. By end of this year, I will try to achieve this. I will achieve this. I keep using try, but actually I say I will achieve this. Remember I cited Master Yoda? What was that? Do or do not. There is no try. Yeah. So I thought that before we begin our this chapter, I thought that maybe if you are up to making a New Year resolution, maybe this is how you can try to do that. Maybe aim for something small. Don't be too ambitious. Then, yeah, you will end up achieving nothing. So if you start with something small, we have discussed these 10 non-virtues. From there, you pick one. So this year, I will work on this. If you have tendency to lie, not intentionally, sometimes some people, yeah, by nature, they can't help. So they like to, what is the, embellish. They like to exaggerate things. So if you know that you are that kind of person and you feel that you need to work on that, then you say, okay, this year I will just focus. I will just concentrate on improving this part. Then, yeah, at the end of the year, maybe you will see. And then if you continue next year, and then in 10 years' time, all 10 non-virtues, you will be free of all this. That will be great. So that's what I wanted to first talk. And yes.
I was wondering if the sound could go up just a little bit.
Oh. I think we have to do from here. I don't know.
No, yeah, I can turn the sound up.
I can shout.
I think you have a plugged ear, so it might just be me, but
okay. Hello. Is it better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it ringing? Is it feeding back?
You have to stand right there next to
you. Hmm. Normally, I'm known to speak so loud, but I don't know when I'm teaching here.
It starts to ring and feed back.
Mm.
Here's what we'll do. We're going to turn the speaker a little bit.
So my sisters thought that I'm a bit deaf. Because one time we went to this shop, it's in the basement, and I was inquiring something about computer things. And then I was talking to him, and my two sisters were with me. So when we came out, they asked me, why were you shouting?
I said that, no, I wasn't shouting. Yes, you say you're shouting. So he said, well, maybe you're a bit deaf. Yeah, that happens. So anyway, so today we are going to talk about the 12 links of dependent origination. So many of you, how many are you familiar with this? Okay, very good. So this is another extension of what we have discussed last Sunday, is to help us another method of engendering renunciation, another way of contemplating on the shortcomings or the flaws of our existence. And in Buddhism, I think those who are familiar with this is so important. Just the dependent origination is so important. That is the essence of Buddhism. So everything kind of hinges on this. So that's why Buddha said that whoever sees dependent origination sees Dharma. Whoever sees Dharma sees Buddha. So if you have real understanding of what is dependent origination, that not at intellectual level, but at the conviction level, then you will be able to see Dharma. So in this context, see Dharma can mean the ultimate reality. So when you understand that everything, all the phenomena are dependent origination, are dependent on something, all phenomena come about in dependence, in reliance on something else, either its parts or either causes or conditions. When you have this kind of understanding, then you will be able to let go of this, what we call the inherent existence. At the moment, whatever we perceive those things exist from its own without depending on other things, other factors. And that is the cause of problem. This misconception is the root of all samsara. So that's why if you are able to understand and see the dependent origination, then you will be able to realize emptiness, understanding into emptiness. With that, you will be able to cut or sever the root of samsara. And that's when you become Buddha or liberation. So that's, and if you think about it, even if you think about the grosser understanding of dependent origination, which is causal dependent origination, just thinking that, it makes a lot of sense. Without that understanding, I think even the concept of three jewels, concept of refuge, concept of karma, you won't be able to construct that concept. It is all, karma is all about cause and conditions. It is all about dependent origination. How results are dependent on causes. So that's why Buddha said that when this is, that is. When this arises, that arises. So the first part shows that in order for things to come about, things to arise, you need to have a cause. We cannot expect something to arise without cause and conditions. There has to be a cause. There need to be a cause and condition to bring about something. And then when it says, when this arises, that arises, and that cause and condition also has to be impermanent. Something is transitory. There is no such thing as something permanent can bring about something impermanent. So many faiths have this kind of belief that there is up there some divine power there, and then that is permanent, and then
through its whatever it is, power or whatever it is, then things arise. So here Buddha is saying that there is no such thing. All has to have a cause, and then that cause has to be also impermanent, something that keeps changing. And this is basically, if we summarize that, is that things arise from a cause, and then cause has to be concordant, or correspond, has to correspond with the result. So in itself, we can learn a lot. In itself actually explains a lot about our situation. Why we are suffering, why we are having this. Remember, we have discussed in our earlier classes, we all have this fundamental desire, fundamental aspiration to be free from suffering and to be happy all the time. But we lack that. We always end up suffering. That is all because we don't have this understanding of how karma works, how cause and condition works. We have this understanding at the intellectual level, superficial understanding. We don't really have the understanding at a conviction level. Because of that, we are not putting effort in creating the cause and conditions. We know that some of us, of course, are ignoring that. We think that the happiness arises from external things. That's why we devote so much time, invest so much of our effort and time in cultivating all that. And then we get disillusioned. It was not the case. You have millionaires, billionaires who are not happier than us, who has even, I think, more suffering. Those billionaires, they keep, I think, when they sleep, there's a lot of worry and anxiety, especially at this time when there is this stock market, the fluctuation is going up and down, all this, what is that, Dow, down, is it? US Dow, or it says Dow is down or something, and then, yeah, they cannot sleep. Whereas for us, no matter what is happening in the stock change or the market, we can sleep soundly. So you see, even having money does not bring happiness. So that's why Buddha said that it is all here within us. So that's why this is very important. When we really have the understanding at the conviction level, then we will not waste our time and effort in working on something else that does not produce what we wanted. We wanted to have sunshine, which is sun rises from the east, but we are going the opposite direction. There's no way, isn't it? You have to face the sun if you want to have the sunlight. So that's what it is about. So there are what we are going to talk about is the 12 link of, there are 12 links, there are 12, in the process, there are 12 things that are happening. So that is to explain or to describe how we cycle in samsara. We have heard all the time that, keep circling. We have taken so many lives, countless lives in this samsara, and we will continue circling if we don't practice. So this explains or describes the way we circle, the way we suffer, as well as this also describes the way to end this cycle, to sever this cycle, to put an end to this cycle. So that's what we are going to look at. So according to Lamrim, there are subtopics, and that's what we are going to look at. So the first is the division into dwellings, and then the condensed presentation of the dwellings, and then how many lifetimes are required to complete one cycle. And then the summary. So the 12, we will cover each one by one. So there are 12, the first being the ignorance, and then the confounded karma, consciousness, name and form, six sources, contact, feeling, desirous attachment, grasping, existence, birth, aging, and death. So let's now look at each of the 12. So the first one is ignorance. So normally in conversation we say, oh, he is such an ignorant person. So normally it means that the not knowing, the person doesn't know about. His ignorant means he doesn't know. So here is not an absence. When we talk about the first of this 12, the ignorance in the dwelling, it is not just mere absence of knowing. It is actually something that is contrary to and directly opposed to knowing. So which can be elaborated here? So it is actually not knowing, not understanding the true, the ultimate reality of how things exist. So being ignorant of the true reality of phenomena. So the wisdom, the insight, the wisdom realizing emptiness, wisdom realizing selflessness. So these are the contrary. So whichever that the contrary to this kind of wisdom is what is ignorance when it comes to the dwellings. So this is the root. Not knowing the true nature of self is the root cause of cyclic existence. So how is this the root cause? So self, we have this misconception, misunderstanding of how I exist. When we think of I, when we say I, my, all this, there is how to put it? Yeah. So when we think of our I, so there's automatic thinking that I exists from its own. We rarely think that I is something that is imputed on our body and mind. We never think that way. So because of this, having this perception of something solid and absolute, then what happens is the attachment arises to this I. So once the attachment is there, so you will engage in all kinds of activities for this I to have all those pleasurable things, the things that you desire, to have all these desiring things. You will engage in all kind of activities. And then whatever you have at the moment, to be not separated from that pleasure and joy, you will engage in all kinds of activities. And that leads to the second one. So there is a quote, "Not only does it not know the self, but it grasps at a conception of self that is contrary and opposed to its true nature." So there are two types of ignorance. Ignorant about the cause and effect of karma and its results. So that is not knowing about what karma is about. Not knowing that if you engage in negative actions, the result would be unpleasant experiences. Not knowing that in order to experience happiness and pleasant experiences, we need to engage, we need to cultivate positive actions. So that kind of not knowing, being ignorant of how karma works, is what is the first type of ignorance. But the actual ignorance in relation to the dwellings is actually the second one, not knowing the true nature of ultimate reality. So that is why it says that that is the root. So if we are able to sever this link, then it will put end to all the rest of the subsequent links. So in, I think I showed in the beginning, there is this, the wheel of life. So this depicts the 12 links, and this is actually how we cycle in samsara. So there is a story behind that. There is a story behind that. Anybody know of this story? How this picture or this drawing came about, this painting? Have you heard of it? Okay, I will remind.
It was about a request for showing.
Oh,
that one. This Wheel of Life. This is called Wheel of Life. Mm.
It's a request for showing a synopsis of the path.
Okay, let me remind you. So the ancient days, the India is ruled by a different small kingdoms. Each has their own king. So there was this king, I think it's called Bimisara, yeah. And then there was another king called Udayana. So they are neighboring kingdoms. So in order to keep the peace, every year they exchange gifts. And that has actually become more of a competition rather than a genuine gift presentation. It is to show off how affluent that kingdom is. So one time, this King Bimisal, he received a very precious gift from the neighboring king. And it is so precious that there is nothing he could give back which is worthy of that gift. So he was so distressed. And if he does not give something equivalent or more precious to that, he is worried that the other king may get angry and then, he may annex his kingdom. So they went to see Buddha that was during the Buddha's time. And first, of course, Buddha's suggestion was to send a painting of Buddha. So king called his royal artist and all that. But they couldn't paint or draw Buddha. Every time there's something else, it is something completely different. So Buddha suggested, okay, I will cast a shadow. And then you just draw the shadow. And then on that drawing, draw this. So these are actually directly instructed by Buddha. Buddha, of course, being enlightened and omniscient, Buddha knew that the other king, the seed to actualize has ripened, to practice Dharma has ripened. And Buddha also saw that through this is the best way to bring the king to spiritual path. So under Buddha's instruction or advice, guidance, so they made this. And so when the other king was presented with this gift, his joy knew no bound. He was so happy. And then he meditated and thought about, contemplated on this. And he achieved a certain realization. So that's why in the Vinaya it was advised to have this written or painted on the monastery's entrance so that monks and everybody who comes to visit monastery, so they can, first thing they will see is this thing. So that picture actually, that drawing, that painting, explains how we circle in samsara, how we are born and we move from one life to another. So we have no time to go through this in detail. So in this painting, so ignorance is depicted by a blind person. So you see, I try to have a blind person here. So blind person, first of all, because of his losing his sight, he cannot see. He cannot differentiate which are the dangerous parts or the, what do you call it? Abs, is it? What do you call those clips? Abyss. Yeah. And also, it comes to food and all this, because he cannot see. He may eat all kinds of things, and then it will endanger his health. And then, of course, not seeing the road clearly, there is danger and risk to his life. So, likewise, when we are filled with ignorance, we are blinded from seeing the true nature. And because of that, we engage in all kinds of activities which are, in long run, harmful to us, which in long run destroys us, even though at that moment we perceive it as something joyful and something beneficial to us. But in the end, eventually, it does not. It only produces suffering. So with this misunderstanding, with this ignorance, so as I mentioned earlier, we engage in all kinds of karma. We engage in negative karmas through the three doors, remember, the physical, the body, speech, mind. We engage in, like, okay, let's quiz time. What are the threes of the body? Three of the body, 10 non-virtues. Three of the body.
Killing, stealing, is sexual misconduct.
Okay. And how about the speech?
Lying, divisive speech, harsh speech.
Idle gossip.
And then we have three of the mind. Covetousness.
Malicious thoughts and
wrong view. Yeah. So with this ignorant, we engage in all this type of negative. Not necessarily negative. Even we engage in positive actions, but that is if it is not accompanied by the wisdom realizing emptiness, then it becomes a cause to be born in samsara. So it's all, let's say, though, with that ignorant, we have this self-grasping, we have this mistaken view of I. With that, we have this attachment. So with that attachment, motivated by that attachment, we will try to engage in even virtuous actions to achieve good rebirth, to be born in deva realms. But that itself is actually creating a cause to be in samsara. We are not going beyond that. So we engage in all kinds of actions, virtues, non-virtues. So this is the second link, is called confounded karma. It is actually karma. Karma that is motivated by ignorance. Yeah, so the depiction is it is depicted by this potter. So potter can make all sizes of pot, can make all qualities of pots. So likewise, this karma can create all kinds of life. It can create life in the lower realms, it can create life in the higher realms, and even in human all kinds of, all degrees of life. Some are unfortunate states, some are fortunate states. So that's how, that's why the person doing a pot is used. And now it goes to the third one, consciousness. So consciousness in relation to dwelling is actually when you create a karma, then it kind of deposits, it kind of leaves it. The imprint is left on that consciousness. So that is the third in the line. So of course there are two, causal consciousness and resultant consciousness. So causal consciousness is the consciousness that you deposit, that come the imprint of that karma. So let's say if I engage something in a negative or positive, so that karma is kind of deposited on that consciousness. So that is the third in the line consciousness when you talk about this consciousness in the 12 links. Then resultant consciousness is at the time of birth, when the conception takes place. That's the resultant consciousness. When the consciousness, it from bardo, it moves into a mother's womb when the conception takes place. That's the resultant consciousness. So it is depicted with a monkey. So monkeys jumps from branches, from trees to trees, from branches to branches. Likewise, the consciousness travels or goes from life to another life, from one life to another life, from the lower realms life to the higher realms life. So this is the monkey. That's why the monkey is drawn to symbolize that. And then comes the name and form. That's the fourth in the line. So I think this can be explained. Yeah. So basically, when the fertilized egg, when the mind, that when the conception happens after the conception, so the egg and the sperm meets, and then it becomes a fertilized egg, isn't it? So I think it's better. I try to use this one. So it's more, I think it, so this is actually a developmental stage. So I think it is like embryonic stage. It is from 3 to 8 weeks. At that time, no shape has appeared. It's a very small thing. They said that it is just even a size of a grain. And there is nothing there. It's just a substance there. But the consciousness has already entered. So the consciousness is the, we have form and name. So name is the consciousness part. And then the whatever that substance is called form. So at that stage, the organs hasn't started appearing. It is just that embryonic stage. At that time, that stage is called name and form. So the first two, we are talking about the causes. And then from there, conception happens. And then now the developmental stage, how that fertilized egg develops, and there are milestones. There are stages, developmental stages. So that's what we are now going through. So that first stage is called name and form. So there is no shape, nothing, it's just a lump there. But the consciousness is already there. So name and form is depicted by a boat. Is this a boat or a ship? This is a boat. Yeah. So it's depicted by boat.
Either
way. So boats, we normally use boats to cross from one bank to the other side of the river, from this side of the river to the other side of the river. So that served, the boat served as a vessel to get on the other side of the river. So likewise, this form and name serve as a vessel for the consciousness to move to another life. So without that, there's no way consciousness can move to another life. So with that, the embryonic stage, where there is this egg and sperm there, so it can enter, and then it has already started, moved into another life. So this is why the boat or ship is fainted. Yeah, I just put it here.
No, but actually, fairy
is better. Yes, yes.
Because
irrelevant. Yes, yes, yes.
One shot to another.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So as the fairy boat ferries people from one side to the another side, yeah. Yeah, that's better. So basically, when at this stage, you already have these five aggregates. So there is this the potential there. And the next development stage is after that. I think this shows better. I think after, what week is that?
24.
Yeah, 24. No. The hearing. Of, when does organs start to appear? Mary, do you know? When does the organs?
Which organs? The heart starts really quite.
Okay, quite like the sixth sense organs, like the ears, mouth.
Oh, neurologically, yeah, that's a little bit further.
Further, yeah.
But
so
the heart is before eight weeks.
Right. But neurologically, it takes much more time for the sense organs to be fully.
Okay, so anyway, here the sixth sense basis, you have all these organs has appeared now. You have the eye, ear, all that's appeared, but it's not functioning. So that's why we have these unoccupied houses to represent that. Because houses are already up, but there is no occupant yet. So even though you have all these organs has appeared, but the consciousness, in Buddhism, when we have eye consciousness, ear consciousness, it is, I think it's like the, in medical terms, I think you have those when the, let's say, how we perceive objects, the eye perceive objects. First, you have to meet that whatever the stimuli, and then through the optic nerves, it sends a message to the brain. And only then when that signal is relayed, and then brain interprets, and then you say, oh, I see that. So likewise, at the moment, consciousness is not there. So your organs are already there. So that is the stage we call the sixth sense basis. That is the fifth in the stage. And then comes the contact. The moment when a faculty, an object of cognition, and the moment of consciousness meets. Now the consciousness has come. So now you have the three things. You have the organs, you have the object, and then you also have the consciousness. So it is depicted with the fondling of a person, couple. So at that stage, they do have kind of feeling there. But they don't really experience the real pleasure at the moment. So likewise, at this stage, context stage, you can feel it, you can see it, but you don't really feel fully. It's not functioning completely. But at least all these three things meet together. But nothing really happens in a complete way. So that's the context stage. And then comes the feeling. That's when you started to really have a strong feeling. So not just meeting these stimuli,
and interpreting, but you also have these feelings, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. So this is depicted with a person with an arrow in the eyes. So eye is so sensitive, even if you as tiny hair goes in, you can instantly feel the discomfort. So imagine if an arrow stuck to your ears. So this is to show that how at that stage you can fully feel or sense all these feelings. So these you can see the first two are more of a cause, how we create karma, and then as a result, consciousness happens, and then all these stages comes. Now we come to the eighth link. That is something different. That normally comes at the end of the life, before you die. So these, the three things, the three links that we are going to discuss, only happens at the time of death. So when you are nearing death, so this desirous attachment, because you now realize that there is this fear of what you call the nihilism. You fear that you are going to disappear. I is no longer going to be there. So there is fear, and also there is attachment, strong attachment. So because that, so that stage when you have this kind of attachment is called the craving or desirous attachment. So this is depicted with a person enjoying alcohol. So when you indulge in alcohol, you kind of get lured into the pleasure of drinking. So you completely forget the other things, and then you engage in all kinds of things that eventually makes you suffer. So this is to show that attachment at the moment, you know, it appears as it is good for you, but long run it does not. And then the ninth stage is called grasping. So grasping at this stage, I mean in this sense, is basically an intense version of that attachment. So that is why it is depicted with a monkey with the fruits. You see, monkeys, of course, they look for fruits and something to eat. When they are presented with this kind of a bunch of fruits, you have seen them. They're so excited. Their attachment is so strong. They will hold on to one, and then they're doing something else. As they were eating, they will be still grabbing for another one. So this is to show that the intense level of our attachment. And then finally is the existence. So this is actually karma. Remember, in the second stage, we have created this karma, and then we have deposited that onto our consciousness. Now this consciousness is brought alive, kind of alive, made it stronger by these two, the eight and nine stages. So these two are like moisturizing that karma there. So it is preparing for the karma to ripen. So it helps to ripen the karma and ready for the next birth. So this is the fuller version of the second link, the confounded karma. Yeah, so I think this is depicted by a pregnant lady, because the baby is now ready to come out. So likewise, that karma is moistened by these two, the grasping and the desirous attachment. So it is ready to produce a new life. So that is depicted with a pregnant lady. And then finally, the birth. So in Buddhism, birth is not when the baby comes out of the womb. Birth happens at the conception. So here, of course, is depicted by a lady delivering. But to show that it has moved from intermediate state to the next life, to the new life. So that's 11. And then finally we have aging and death. These are put together, combined together, because a person can die without aging. A person can die at a very young age. So death, aging and death is represented with a corpse, with a dead body. So after giving birth, and then, we started to age. Actually, the moment the conception took place, the process of aging has already started. We think that aging starts at 60, 70 years old. No. The moment of conception, it has started. So that's the 12 links. And before we stop for our break, I wanted to tell you a story. Remember, we have been asking the stories. Maybe it can be a reminder. So I live here at Anthony's house. So we have other people living together, sharing the same kitchen. So let me tell you a story. This is just a fun thing just to share. I'm not complaining. So one morning I came out planning to have baked beans, an omelette, and a toast for my breakfast. I bought a can of baked beans and I had a portion of it. And then I transferred that into a container and kept in the fridge. So I came out, I cut the bread, and then in order to heat up the baked beans, so I used one of the pans. It was quite dirty, so I scrubbed in and wash it. And then I put in a stove, lighted the stove, and then went in to look at my baked beans. It turned out to be the day my baked beans got hijacked. So this shows that how things are so uncertain. Even the baked beans, you cannot expect to find it tomorrow, the next day. Let's not talk about other things. Just baked beans. Yeah, this is just because it's so dry, I just thought that maybe to share this. Okay, please enjoy your tea. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just learned that today is Jocelyn's birthday. Let's sing a birthday song, isn't it? Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Jocelyn. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I was trying to be selfless today.
Well, happy birthday to your invitation.
Thank you. I'm 20 years old. That's the kid.
Okay, now let's look at the second subtopic, the condensed presentation of the links. So we have roughly went through each and every of these 12 links. So now we are going to look in terms of category. So where does this fall? So we have something called projecting factors. So in that category, these three falls into that category. So we have ignorance, compounded karma is the second one, and then the consciousness. So these three are the stage where when we start to create a karma. So let's say if we are going to be born as a dog, so this is where it started. So with out of ignorance, you engage in some negative actions, and then that is deposited on our consciousness, the consciousness at that time. So these are called projecting factors. And then as a result of that, and then all these, remember the developmental stages, name and form, six sources, contact and feeling, all this falls. And then we have something called actualizing factor. So these are the ones that are kind of moistening the karma, the second one. So second one, we have, after creating the karma, we left the seed on the consciousness, so it is there. So now at the time of death, when this, the craving, grasping, that kind of brings that up seed. So there are so many seeds, but they choose one, bring up that particular karma, and then it makes it ready for it to ripen. And then it becomes, when it's ready to produce the result, then it becomes the existence. So this falls under the actualizing factor. And then the rest, the birth, aging and death falls under the actualized factors. So now the question is, so in order to complete one cycle, so each birth, our this present life, it has to have these three, these 12 links. We are already in which stage? Aging and aging and death, yeah, in that. We are already in that. So when did the first, the ignorance happened? Did it happen in this life?
Previous life.
Okay. When, okay.
Oh, it's still there.
So like this very life, it was a result of a karma, the second one. Okay, let's put it this way. Which out of the 12, which are the ones that happened in this life? Name the links that occurred in this lifetime.
Feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so starts from the conception, isn't it? Resultant consciousness. We have two consciousness, causal consciousness and resultant consciousness. So it starts with the resultant consciousness, and then name and form, six sense sources or the basis, and then contact, feeling, and then aging. No, craving, it does not happen here. Craving is to help the next life. Yeah. So here, how many lifetimes are required to complete one cycle? So you have, in the first life, let's say this life, we, out of ignorance, we create a karma. Let's say negative karma, to be born as animal. Then we leave that. We leave that imprint, the seed, on the consciousness, this life. So this life, there are three things happened. Out of the 12, three happened. And then what happens? Then that, so the the one cycle can either be completed in two lifetime or three lifetime. So let's say if it's going to experience and complete, it's going to complete in three lifetime. Then, so this life, we have created the first part, ignorance, confounding karma, the causal. And then next life, it doesn't appear. At the end of this life, when we are nearing death, it does not bring that karma. And we just bring something else to be born somewhere else. So that karma is dormant now. It is deposited on our consciousness. And then next life, when we, let's say we are born as, now we are, let's say, Deva. So human, then we are born there. And then at that time, and then we may bring up that karma to be born in animal. So at that time, at the time of that Deva's life, when you are nearing the death, then these three things, desirous attachment, grasping, brings about the karma to be born as animal. And that second, the confounding karma, becomes now transformed into existence. It becomes ready to produce result. So that happened in Deva's life. And then when you are born as animal, the rest, you experience the rest, or you complete the rest. So that's the three lifetime. So now using this logic, how can we experience in two lifetime? Try. Which are the links that needs to be completed in this life? Let's say if we are going to be born as an animal, as a dog, next life. So you need to experience all these... okay, how many we need to complete in this life?
In the life?
Yeah, let's say we are going to be born... Next life, we are going to be born as animal. That's a dog. So if we are going to try to fit that into two lives' time, can you explain which ones happen this life and which are the ones that occurs in the next life?
So in this life, we would still have ignorance, compounded karma, and causal consciousness. We'd still have those. In the next life, you would have the resultant consciousness, desirous attachment, grasping, and existence.
Mm. And so there's already two lives.
Yeah, and so then...
Then you have to have the rest. This the becomes rest three
of,
lives.
The rest of them follow.
Yeah.
In the second life.
No,
it cannot... three. Yeah. Yeah. It has to be the new life. So in your way of explaining, it has to be three. Three lifetime. Okay, let's look at this. So you see ignorance, that the first, second, third, and then 8, 9, 10 has to be completed in this life.
Okay.
Well, what does that mean? If the desirous attachment, grasping, existence has to be completed in this life, what does it mean?
Yeah, so let's say today I engage in some negative actions, which is going to bring me to, going to produce... me and bring me to a life of a dog, let's say. So ignorance, out of ignorance I did that. So the ignorance completed. And then the karma, that karma is the second one. And then I deposited that seed of that karma onto my consciousness. So three is already completed. And then when the time nears my death, then the desire attachment, even though there are so many karmas, it brings up that particular karma, and then it ripens, it moistens that karma to produce the next life. So you see that six occurred in this life. and then the conception. Okay. Mm. Which one you are not clear?
I don't understand okay. why it gets put into life one, whereby the previous life, it's separate. I don't understand what you have to do.
No, you don't have to do anything. So that's why we say that at the time of death, our frame of mind is so important.
Right.
That's why we say. So let's say if your mindset is negative, it brings about the negative karma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see, this life, if I have created a karma to be born as dog,
okay.
So if my mental state at the time of death, my mindset is negative, so there is a more likelihood that it will bring that up.
Yeah.
So who is helping to bring that up is the 9 and 10. No, the 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Is the one that is bringing up.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking, the only way out is at the time of death to not have, to have a different, to have this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even being born in human realm, we still need this attachment to our birth. So if I say, I wish I achieve a good human rebirth. So that is actually attachment, desirous and attachment.
So,
so that brings up the virtuous karma.
All right.
Clear? Okay.
So in order for for the karma to actualize in two lives, the karma at time of death must be actualized at that point.
It has to be intensified and ready. It's like germinated. It is ready to produce the seedling or sprout, whatever you call it. It's like you have the seed in the soil. Now it's like watering and giving the sunlight and all that. So without water and moist and sunlight and all this, even though the seed is there, it is not going to produce anything. It's not going to sprout.
So can I ask another question? The intermediate state between births and hell beings and those going to the lower realms may not have an intermediate state.
Yeah.
But for those who are going to the higher realms or perhaps the animal realms, there's an intermediate state. Is it possible to redirect this karma so that it within the intermediate state?
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So there are two schools of thought or two beliefs. So one would say that, once your karma is already, becomes existence, when the karma has already produce already, you are already born in the intermediate. So let's say if I'm going to be born as animal, I have to be born as animal intermediate state. So once you're already in the intermediate state, they say that nothing can change. That's one view. Another view is that yes, you can change. So that's why every seventh day we do a lot of puja, a lot of prayers. That is to redirect, help the person. Yeah.
So in the bardo, let's say you're going to be an animal, you have there's a bardo body that looks like what you got.
Animal.
Have,
yeah.
So you can even change that. Let's say you're going to be a dog. You are a dog in the first 7 days, and then you hear something that brings you back, and you.
Yeah, you become. Let's say, and then suddenly the karma changes, and instead of being born as a dog, so you are going to be born as a human being. So your bardo changes, because every 7 day you have to die. So when you die at that time, a new bardo appears. So there are two views on this.
So which one?
I would like to believe the second one. Yeah.
like to believe that.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me that the main thing to draw from this, we know how it all works, but at this point, I don't know what imprints there are, what seeds there are.
Mm.
And I can maybe guess by my current actions what might be, you know, imprints, habits and things. But so in order to avoid the negative ones ripening in the next life, my best bet is to practice virtuous actions and so on all the way up to my death. And that's the best preparation I can have for avoiding being born as an animal or something, because it might still be there, but I've done everything I can to keep that from happening. And especially at the time of death, you know, being really prepared to you know, have a virtuous mind. You know.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So that's why, as I mentioned earlier, we put a lot of emphasis on having a virtuous frame of mind at the time of death. But we may think that, oh, in that case, you know, I will, you know, set my mind in a virtuous way at the time of death. So then, you know, since I already have virtuous karmas there, it will bring up. But if you are not habituated in that way, if you are not accustomed in, you know, generating positive mindset, it is not going to happen. Especially at the time of death, when there's a lot of confusion, a lot of fear, no way you will be able to generate a positive mindset. But if you are able to practice on daily, while you are alive, if you accustom your mind in doing that, then it becomes your habit. Once it's your habit, then yeah, it just automatically arises. So that's why, even though at the time of death, your mindset is so important, but then the more important thing is to live your life, yeah, ethically. Mm.
In a previous part of this lifetime, I was raised as Catholic. And even there, I remember quite clearly the teaching being, don't count on deathbed redemption.
Yes, 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 yes.
If you wait till the last minute.
Yes, yes, yes. Mind, yeah. So. Yeah. It's same with everything, isn't it? Even your assignments, all that. If you just wait for the last day, oh, that's difficult. Okay. So, what is the takeaway from this? What do you think? How can we apply? How is this relevant to our life?
Well, since we don't know when we're going to die, so the native people say today is a good day to die, so we might as well practice today, because, you know, that might be, you know, that might be it.
Okay. Anybody want to try?
Okay, well, from what you taught this morning, the root of all of this is our ignorance. And because of our ignorance, we perform all these actions that can drive us into unwanted rebirths. So we need to convince ourselves that if we don't change our actions, we won't be able to count on a good rebirth. In fact, we may have a very bad rebirth. If we really want to break this chain, ultimately, the thing we really want to do is overcome our ignorance. Until we do that, we are bound to continue doing actions that will drive us from birth to birth.
Yes, exactly. So that's the takeaway.
Yeah.
So this is, as I mentioned in the beginning, so this describes how we end up suffering, how we experience suffering. You know, we wonder, how come, you know, how come I'm suffering this? How come I'm continuing all this? So this actually explains how first it begins with ignorance. Then with ignorance you create the cause, and then that is deposited. And then at the time of death, it was kind of nourished and moistened and then ready to produce. And then the conception happens. So that's how we go from one life to another life. So as Ken mentioned, so if we want to put an end, because this, the 12 link, not only describes how we come how we cycle in samsara, it also shows or describes how to put an end. So we see that if you stop this, this will not happen. So if you stop ignorance, then the second one, the compounding karma, will not happen. And compounding karma does not happen, then the consciousness does not happen. So if one ceases, the other one also ceases. So this shows the possibility of cessation. So if we really want to sever that chain of action, then it is to no point trying other things, but really target at the source, which is ignorance, which is this misconception of I. So that's why nowadays His Holiness, when he gives initiations or teachings, the commitment is very simple. Earlier you have to recite these 30 pages of prayers and all this. Now His Holiness says, every morning and evening, they meditate on compassion or bodhicitta and contemplate on emptiness. So if we are able to spend time contemplating on emptiness, so that will kind of loosen the grip on this misconception. And with that, you are able to loosen the attachment to I. So when you really look and analyze carefully, every trouble is all because this I, because of I, my comes, mine. You did this to my things, you did that to my things, you hurt me to me, I. So the only way to reduce that is meditation on emptiness, which I think by now you already know that we have a guest speaker to teach us on emptiness, topic of emptiness. Geshe Damdula, I have made a request, and he has very kindly agreed. So it will be a Skype lecture. Yeah, I think that's for today. Please.
I was once told, I think it was Abba Rinpoche. I might be misquoting him, but even if we poke a little bit of a hole in this edifice that we built about, inherent existence of ourselves and everything else, even if we poke a little bit of doubt, a little bit of, that begins to loosen this. And that's the way we don't have to, is that the end goal? Yes, to fully realize it, and that cuts it at the root. Yes, but still continue to get closer and closer, and that's how, it's not all or nothing. It's for some people, it can boom, they get it. But for some of us, it's not like that. And it just beginning to have some doubt and begin to, it pokes a hole and it begins to, then it influences how we think and how we behave. And that's also
the incremental step. Let's take, anything? If not, we will conclude here.
Say the dedication prayers. First, the mandal offering. Sure, first.
My mind went blank on me. Just the wrong one.
Dege joje medo tama re ra ling shi nyen de genpa de sanje jen la me de bwa ye dogwe nam da jen la chenpa jo rana menda la gana ya ta ya me Rimbo je ma je pa nama ke jo je ke ba nyam ba me ba gong ne gong do pe wa ra sho ko ze rab den je nam ga ra ten le cho jo ye ba dang lo zang ten be dhe me sa zu ma Jove meze dado ne gyoroche. Korve shengam zo pendan dewa malu jungwe. Chere zewan denzen gyazo ye shabe sede bado ten gyoroche. Jedara Gemba Dang Kundu Zambu Deyang Deshindu Deda Kunji Jesu Talo Gyawa Deda Adamje Radu Ngo Gyawa Adamje Ge Ngova Kala Chodu Ngabade Dajin Gewe Tsawan Digwin Gyan Sambu Chuchira Ngovara Ge